I'm going to teach a short message on the five-step prayer model. Now, this is pretty good timing because actually we've got three people leaving for India next week, and we got three more leaving for Brazil the following week, and they're going to be praying for the sick. And so this is the method that Randy Clark teaches in his Global Awakening. Been doing it for over 20 years now. And so it's a good little refresher thing if you're getting ready to go on the mission field to pray for people. Anyway, let's just read a scripture, Mark 15 through 18. We all know this scripture, but it's a good scripture to start with. And I didn't send you any scriptures, did I, Jan? Anyway, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "And he," that is Jesus, "said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." They shall lay hands on the sick and they recover. Who shall lay hands on the sick and they recover? Them that believe. Them that believe. All those who believe. This was the Great Commission, you know. And Jesus was just giving out these instructions. And so, any believers in here? Okay, anybody, if you're a believer, raise your hand. Praise God. Okay, so how many people are supposed to pray for the sick? Everyone who just raised your hand. So, I want to teach on this five-step prayer model, and I'll explain what that means as we go in case the terminology may be new to you. But, so why would we even want to study this subject, five-step prayer model? The short answer is that we as the church are currently in a move of God in which believers are being equipped to pray for the sick. They were always supposed to pray for the sick, but a lot of people just, you know, I don't know if I can pray for a sick person. What do I do? What do I say? How do I do it? A lot of people just have never done it or don't know how. But so we have three people leaving for India and three leaving for Brazil in the next couple of weeks. So the notion of believers ministering healing to the sick goes all the way back to the Great Commission. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't know how to do that or would be afraid to try it. What will I do? What do I do? But now we do pray for the sick. We just prayed for some sick folks a minute ago, and we've been doing it for many years and getting results for many years. So this is not absolutely something new to us. We do that, but I believe the Lord wants to equip every one of us to pray for the sick and see them recover. And so we're going to talk about this five-step prayer model. This goes back to John Wimber. Does anybody remember John Wimber from the 80s? You know, when we were first like in the MCF way over there, this guy, John Wimber, was ministering healing. And he used this five-step prayer model. And of course, people may have used it before him. I don't know. But I know Randy Clark has taught this method starting way back in the Toronto Blessing of 1994. Anybody remember the Toronto Blessing? Yeah. Some of you went to it. Some of you heard of it. But it was a move of God that took place at the Toronto Airport Vineyard Church back in 1994. It's where it kind of broke loose. And it was marked by ecstatic worship, holy laughter, and some other crazy things. Dogs barking. I mean, there was all sorts of stuff going on in that move of God. It was very controversial, but God was moving. But there was an emphasis on physical and emotional healing that came out of that revival. And, of course, you know, the move started, and it's still been going over the years. You know, Randy Clark started this organization, Global Awakening. And so he's been teaching this prayer model for many years since then. And he sat under John Wimber. He learned it from John Wimber. So what do we mean by prayer model? Prayer model, that's how, what are we doing, model cars or something here? No. It simply means a method or an approach. Five-step prayer method, five-step prayer approach. So we're not talking about a formula or five steps to healing. You know, back we used to teach everything had five steps, 10 steps to the baptism in the Holy Spirit, 5 steps to whatever, you know, prosperity. And we used to get into that stuff a lot. But the thing is, formulas don't work. And so this is not a formula by any stretch of the imagination. We're talking about a systematic approach to ministering to the sick. Basically, it's just a track to run on. How do I approach it? What do I do when I get in there? What do I look for? How do I pray? What do I say? It's kind of a track to run on. So it's not set in stone. You don't have to do this exactly like this says to, but it's just a track to run on. You know, there are other prayer models. You know, prayer models are not new. Every, you know, group has a prayer model. There's the evangelistic model, like the fundamentalist church. The denominational churches, they kind of have a vague belief in healing. If it's God's will, if it be thy will. And so the pastor might pray for somebody every once in a while. And I think, well, maybe God will do something unusual and heal that person. That's the evangelistic model. The Pentecostal model. You might remember Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, the big meetings, the crusades. It was a strong belief in supernatural, but healing was ministered in big meetings, conventions, or not conventions, but big crusades, and with healing centered around the platform, around the man of God. And then there's the charismatic model, or in the neo-Pentecostal model, Derek Prince, Bob Mumford. It was based on the view that healing is a restoration of the gifts for the end-time revival or harvest. Healing is ministered by preachers and elders. The restoration of the gifts for the end-time harvest. Have we ever heard that preached? Of course. I mean, the end-time harvest has been a big thing ever since I've been a Christian. This big end-time harvest that's going to happen. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm just saying that's a line of thinking that a certain group of people have. And Derek Prince is one of those people in that particular group. A lot of people in that group. The charismatic as the neo-mainline. Francis McNutt. Michael Scanlon. It's characterized by a holistic approach to healing. In other words, you go in and you heal the inner man, and then the outer man becomes healed. Holistic healing. You didn't know all this stuff went on, did you? It does. Holistic healing. And so it's a slow process of healing that takes place. And then there's the liturgical sacramental model. Anybody ever been to a Catholic church? The liturgical sacramental model. Edward McDonough, Morton Kelsey. They see it as an official, in terms of official church ministry, as a function of ordained priests. And they have what they call liturgical services and sacraments, such as the Eucharist, penance, and anointing with oil. And people actually get healed with the anointing of oil. And anyway, that's a lot of the Catholic sort of doctrine. But the five-step model, and again, of course, you don't teach ordinary believers to do this type of healing. That's only done by the priest. But the five-step model is an ordinary model of ministry for ordinary believers. Under this model, as John Wimber used to say, everybody gets to play. In other words, we all get to play. Every believer gets to play. And you know, really, that's the exciting part of Christianity, is praying for the sick, you know, doing the supernatural stuff. That's when it really gets fun. So everybody gets to play under this particular view, worldview of healing. And so I believe it's the model Jesus intended when he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." So part of the five-step prayer model is breaking down the traditional thinking that only pastors and elders can pray for the sick. See, that's just not true. Only every believer is called to lay hands on the sick. The Bible says you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are a royal priesthood, everyone. Every believer is a priest unto the Lord. And part of what priests do is minister healing. If you look in the Old Testament under the priest in Moses' time, a big part of what they did was minister healing. And so the five-step prayer model is different for two reasons. It's used by every believer, not just leaders and elders, and it's designed to allow time for the Holy Spirit to work in healing. It's designed to allow the Holy Spirit to work in healing. And that's a big factor right there, allowing time for the Holy Spirit to work. One thing that occurred to me when I first started studying this, I said, okay, five-step prayer model, that sounds good. And we began to look at some things about it. What occurred to me is that a lot of times when we're praying for people, we tend to put a prayer on somebody. In other words, they'll come for prayer and this is wrong, that is wrong. Well, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you to heal this person. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Whatever it is, go from them. Let's move on to the next person. In other words, we just took time to put a prayer on somebody. We didn't wait to see what the Lord was going to do, if anything happened. And we didn't dare ask anybody if anything happened. Because it probably didn't or may not have. And then we'll be embarrassed and look like we didn't know what we were doing. I'm just talking. I'm just telling you. This is how we think sometimes. So people are healed by the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we need to understand. People are healed by the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in one place, it says, it's not by our power, it's by the name of Jesus this man stands before you whole. It's not by us. So he allows us to participate, but we don't heal anybody. I've never healed anybody. Have any of y'all ever healed anybody? No, Jesus is the healer. And he does that by the Holy Spirit. And so if somebody gets healed while we're praying, it was him who did it. But he allowed us to participate. He said, come on, guys, you can get in on this thing. He's the head, we're the body. So we participate, but it's in cooperation with him. So praying for the sick is not about how good our prayers are, how eloquent or how forceful and authoritative. Let's pray a really good prayer. If we get the right prayer out there, man, I'm telling you, this person's going to get healed. If we do it with enough authority, if we hype it up enough, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, if we scream loud enough, if we show the devil we really mean it, by golly. See, that's the way we think about things sometimes, but that's thinking that it has to do with us. Yeah, one person I was listening to talking about it said they were so down and out. I was talking with John about this morning, and Randy Clark's got a message, The Agony of Defeat. And, you know, a lot of people don't get healed, but a lot of people do. So, in a nutshell, we need to rejoice in the ones who do and just forget about the ones who don't. There may be a reason. You can't figure it out, but the Lord for another day. Maybe all the factors will get right the next time somebody prays for them, whatever those factors are. So anyway, it's about how much we can cooperate with the Lord in allowing him the space he needs to do what only he can do. And to cooperate with the Lord, we need to relax. And that's a hard thing for us sometimes, just to relax and say, God, would you do something? It takes a lot of the stress off of you, really. This is part of the five-step prayer model. I hadn't got to it yet, but I'm giving you some other things to think about before we even get to that. See, our tendency is to push right past him. Okay, who's next? Who's next? Shakara mashandara maha. Jesus' name, be healed. I mean, sometimes you have to do that if there's 100 to be prayed for and you're the only one and you got 10 minutes, you know. And God does stuff in that, but anyway, so, the Bible says the angels rejoice over one sinner who gets saved. It doesn't say they got all down and out and down in the dumps out of 100 that didn't get saved that day. So we ought to follow that pattern and rejoice over what God does do. And don't get all hung up in, it's like, I've got to do more. I got to pray more. I got to fast more. I've got to just really study more. No, let God be God. Yeah. A lot of times healing comes gradually over days. I've seen that happen so many times. You pray for somebody and it doesn't look like anything happened. A few days later, how you doing? I'm fine. Everything is great. Man, I just really feel great. I know Jeff Thompson. I talked to him a while back. I prayed for him up here in the building. His knees were bothering him. Prayed. Do you feel anything? Do you feel any better? No. Do you feel any unusual feelings? No. He came back about 4 or 5 weeks later, still having problems. I said, well, let me pray for you again. We went through the whole thing and prayed for him, you know, and I didn't see him for a couple of months. And then I ended up talking with him on the phone. He said, hey, I want to stop by and talk with you and tell you about how God is manifesting healing in my life, how the healing is manifesting in my life. I'm thinking, well, great. So in other words, it didn't immediately happen. It happened over time. It started at those points. We prayed twice. I didn't know anything happened. I could have just said, well, I guess that was just that. You know, I'm not any good at this stuff. But it wasn't me anyway. It was the Lord that kept dealing with him, kept working with him, brought healing. So that's the way it works a lot of times. So we look for immediate results, but they don't always happen. In fact, I haven't seen a whole lot of immediate results. I've seen some. We were praying for this guy over here, came down with Rodney Fontaine. And anyway, he had a head situation with his brain tumor or something. I can't remember what it was. We prayed for him, prayed for a while, and you know, I said, how you feeling? He said, I think I'm feeling some better. And I said, did you feel anything while we prayed? He said, yeah, I felt fire in the back of my head. I'm getting ahead of myself. I know years ago when Carl Hoyer came here, he had a problem with his shoulder, and we were meeting downstairs. It was while this building was being remodeled. And he asked for prayer, and I didn't really know him. I just had met him. And we prayed as a group for him, you know, went through our little prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray that you just touch him, and which is a good prayer. I'm not against that. But then we stopped and moved on to the teaching or something, and I just felt uneasy. I said, you know, I don't think we finished praying for this guy back here. So let's pray for him again. I walked back there and put my hand on his shoulder and prayed again, you know, just whatever I felt to pray at the time. I went back and sat down and went on a few minutes. Carl said, hey, I don't know what happened to me, but when that brother prayed for me, I felt fire in my shoulder. And see, I didn't feel a thing. I didn't feel heat or cold or anything. But see, a lot of times you don't know what's going on. I don't know why I brought all that up. It's because we can't really see what's going on a lot of times. Now, the six guiding values undergirding the five-step prayer model. Accessible to all believers. If you're a believer, you can do this. Ministering in teams is made easy. We got three people leaving for India, three going to Brazil. You can actually minister in a team with this method and just let one person lead out. Let one person take the lead at a time. This person step back. Let this person come in and take over. And so you can do that in a group. Honoring the person being ministered to. This is good. A person being ministered to is not an object of ministry. Not someone to experiment on. I think I'll try my latest technique on this person. Praise God. The Lord just showed me something every day. I'll try it on this guy. Not a guinea pig. See, people we minister to are human beings. Amen. And so we need to minister out of love and respect and honor for people. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Ministering wholeness rather than dealing just with the presenting problem. In other words, this is a holistic thing. In other words, you're looking at a problem that a person has, but is that really the reason for the problem? Is there something else maybe that's going on here that's causing the problem? Maybe a generational curse, or maybe some unforgiveness, or, you know, different things can be working. So this deals not just with the issue at hand, but what's behind the issue if something else is. And also partnership and dependency on the Holy Spirit. He is doing the work. We are cooperating and participating with Him as He leads. So this type of prayer is about having the Holy Spirit released to do what He wants to do. It's not about how good we can pray or how we got the right scripture or anything like that. All that's important, but this is cooperation with Him. This is a good one. Using disclaimer language. Disclaimer language and refraining from absolutist language. In other words, leave room for yourself to be wrong. Don't say the Lord is showing me that you're holding unforgiveness. Oh, how can you argue that? The Lord said it, right? The Lord shows me. The Lord just told me this. You can't argue against that. But what if you say something like, you know, I'm sensing something. Do you have any conflicts with others right now? Any issues going on with other people, upset with you? In other words, and they can say yes or no. Maybe they do, and they prefer to say no. See, we need to respect people. If they have an issue going on, they don't want you to know about it. That's their business. But so in other words, don't be so absolute. God said this. God said that. I believe this. I believe that. Give people room, you know, to be themselves. So that's part of this model of prayer. Now, you know, just before we get to looking at the different things, and I've got these cards right here. We'll pass these cards out too. These list out the different things. You can study them, look at them, whatnot. But there are different prayer situations. There's a situation where you're in church or somewhere, and they say, "Does anybody need prayer?" People come up, and you're praying. So they came, and they're asking for prayer. Or you're out in the marketplace, and you say, "God, the person looks like they're going through a rough day. I wonder if they need prayer." So you approach them and ask if you can pray. Or they got a cast on their arm. "Can I pray for your arm?" And so this model can be used either there or in the other, in church. And what I want to point out here is that these are just little tidbits here. You can pray with your eyes open. You know, and you know, the Bible does not say close your eyes when you pray. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. But it says watch and pray, Jesus told his disciples. Yeah, watch and pray. In other words, be watching. Be watching what's going on when you pray. So you can pray with your eyes open in public. I mean, I can say like Danny, "Hey, how's it going, man? Listen, how you doing? Just wonder if I could pray for you today.
Sure.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just bless my brother right now. In Jesus' name, be blessed, be healed in Jesus' name." Nobody even knew I prayed. I mean, I'm just talking to a guy. It looks like I'm standing around talking to the guy, but yet we're ministering. So you don't have to feel like you have to make a scene to pray for somebody. You're just chatting with them. You keep your eyes open. It doesn't even look like you're praying. Is the prayer just as effective? Yes, it is. What's that? By faith. I know Randy Clark talked about a situation when he used to make donuts years ago, and he was in a place, he was working. They went to the break room. This lady needed prayer, and he prayed for her right there, and all the people were smoking, eating donuts, having stuff in the break room, just chatting. But you can do this in a restaurant. You're talking, you can pray for somebody. In other words, you don't have to make a scene to pray. You can do it, and nobody even around you even knows what's going on. So anyway, that's just a little tidbit there to throw in. You know, the main thing about it is you can tell what's going on with the person when you start to pray for them. Is the Lord moving on them? Is something happening? You know, we'll get more into that in a minute, but our job is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus did this. When he was ministering, he'd be walking along, some guy in the crowd would holler out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So in other words, he's walking along, minding his own business, and suddenly this guy pops up needing prayer. Or, you know, somebody comes up needing to be healed of leprosy. Somebody comes up needing to be healed of blindness. He notices a guy up in a tree, you know, and says, "Come down here." He sees the multitude. He sees the multitude and is moved with compassion by what he saw. See, he was moved with compassion because he saw something. He was watching. What's the Father doing today? "Oh, this guy over here, Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you need?" The guy was blind. "You know, what can I do for you?" "Well, I'm blind." "No, tell me what you need." So anyway, also a woman snuck up behind him with an issue of blood and got healed without even knowing it. But then he said, "Who did that?" He looked all around. See, he had a way of seeing what the Father was doing by what was going on around him. And so that's all I'm saying about that. Let's be aware of what's going on, especially when we're praying. So anyway, let's go to step one of the five-step prayer model. If anybody wants cards, I have maybe 10 or 12 of them. Gosh, there's more of you than that. That's the only problem. So, just pass them out to as many as you can. Maybe people can share. What's that? You've got more? Okay. And they're slightly different. The old ones are a little bit different. I like these better, but anyway, these are prettier. They look much nicer. What are those, pink or something? Maybe those are the girl version. They're pink, aren't they? Okay, I'm just kidding. No discrimination here. Let's see. Okay, so we're looking at the interview step. The step one is the interview. Somebody comes to pray, or you go and ask them, can you pray for them? You want to do the interview, and the interview is just simply find out what the problem is. You know, what are you suffering with? What did you come for prayer for? Take a little bit of time to find out. Listen to what they're saying and listen to what the Spirit's saying. Listen to what they're telling you and listen to what the Spirit's telling you. About what they're saying. And you might want to question, you know, when did this condition start? Was anything traumatic going on in your life during that time? In other words, maybe there's something connected to a traumatic experience a person had. Jesus did that. He said, you know, how long is this ago since this came upon this boy? And the father said, as a child. So Jesus asked questions like that. How long ago? You know, there's an example here. Someone, say, for example, someone ran their car into someone else's car and caused injury to that person, the other person. So if you're praying for that injury, there might be some forgiveness issues. In other words, that guy hit me with his car and my arm's been hurt ever since and I need prayer. Well, have you forgiven that guy? Why should I forgive him? He was being foolish. He was texting. Ran into me, the dummy. Yeah, but have you forgiven? See, the unforgiveness may be blocking you from getting healing there. So you're listening to what the person is saying. Unforgiveness does block healing, so it may be important to address that issue. So the Lord said, you might need to deal with some unforgiveness here in this guy's life. Or did your mom and dad have that? Anybody in the family had that condition? Yeah, my uncle had it, my dad had it, you know, and my grandpa died of it. Well, maybe it's a generational thing. A generational curse needs to be dealt with. Or maybe it's alcoholism, generational. So in other words, you're listening. You're giving the people time to tell you something so the Lord can tell you how to pray for them. Now, step two, and I don't know how y'all are worded. You just do them the best you can. They got all sorts of little things there. And I've got a different one than you've got, so they may not be the same. Step two, prayer selection. So after we've listened to the person for a while, we're going to select how we're going to pray, determine the direction of the prayer. Is it going to be a petition prayer? God, I ask you to heal this person. Lord, would you come and heal this person? Or is it going to be a commanding prayer in the name of Jesus? I command this sickness to leave. I command this curse to be broken. So you kind of get an idea, well, how are we going to go with the prayer here once I know a little bit about them? Dealing with a spirit of affliction. The guy comes up and says, well, I have my shoulder's hurting, but this morning it was my elbow, and before that it was my knee last night. Maybe that's a spirit of affliction, a spirit of infirmity that you need to deal with. So you've taken time to listen to that, and you've decided how to pray. So we begin to pray as the Lord leads us. This is important. Another good point here. There's a lot of good points that go with this. Instruct the person receiving prayer to be quiet and passive, in a receptive mode. Not praying in tongues, not praising and talking, just receptive. You see, you can't be giving out and receiving in at the same time. If you're so busy giving out, then you're not going to be receptive. And so it's good to just say, just relax. We're going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you. Don't say anything. Just receive. I mean, in a nice way, of course. And here's another very important thing. Ask the Holy Spirit to come with healing power. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now. I'm laying hands on this person. I ask you to come and minister healing power. I ask you right now, Holy Spirit, to come. Touch this person. Surround us with your presence, Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to come, Lord. Lord, come and do what only you can do. Lord, we need you, Lord. We can't do anything without you. Holy Spirit, come. And you continue to do that for a little bit, and you'll notice that he actually does come. You'll say, whoa, suddenly, I feel the presence of the Lord right now. And people will begin to feel the presence, and people around you will begin to get stirred up as you're doing that. So you just take a little bit of time to ask the Lord's presence to come, the Holy Spirit to come. And don't rush into a prayer. Give a little time for that spiritual thing to come over the situation. And when you ask the Holy Spirit to come, He actually does that. So we wait a little bit for Him. And many times, if you're keeping your eyes open and watching, you'll see that the person you're praying for is starting to kind of get, oh, God, Jesus, I love you, Lord. Ooh, Jesus, God, you're so good. Oh, Lord. Oh, God, I bless you. I praise you, Lord. You're so. You'll notice the presence of the Lord is coming over that person. They're starting to get into a spirit of worship because the Lord's on them. And so you can watch and see that that's going on. They might begin. What's that? They may weep. That's what I was going to say. Yeah, they may start crying. They may start worshiping. They may just start oohing and aahing. Ooh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. So, you know, the presence of the Lord is there. The important thing is to take a little bit of time and don't rush it. Be led by the Spirit and then take some time to pray as He leads. So you want to pray the prayers. I pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to heal my brother. Heal his shoulder in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, touch that shoulder and heal. And I speak to that shoulder in Jesus' name. I tell you, be healed. Pain, I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. In other words, you don't have to hype it up real big. You're just speaking with authority and to the situation. So pray in the best you can and being led by the Spirit. So you take a little time to pray. Now, the step three, I believe it is stop and re-interview. At this point, you want to get some feedback from the person. You want to ask them if they're feeling any better. Do not say, are you healed? Because they may be 50% better. But if you ask them if they're healed, they're going to have to say, well, no, it's still there. You know, it still hurts. Well, is it any better? Yeah, it does feel better. It's not as bad as it was. You think it's maybe 50% better? Yeah, I believe it is. Well, see, that's something. Now you got something to work with, okay? Did you feel any unusual feelings or sensations when I was praying? Well, yeah, my shoulder was kind of tingly over here while you were praying. I felt tingles and kind of electricity-like, you know? Well, good. See, that gives you an indication of what the Lord's doing. You felt heat over there. You're praying for the shoulder and say, well, yeah, I felt heat in my elbow. Well, okay, we'll move over and pray for your elbow. You know, so you can get some feedback. And a lot of times we're afraid to ask because somebody say, well, no, I don't feel any better. And did you feel any unusual sensations? Well, no. But that's not a bad answer. A lot of times people will say, no, I didn't feel anything. But you don't have to feel anything. You assure them you don't have to feel anything. We can pray in the authority of Jesus' name. And so whether you felt something or not, it doesn't matter. We're going to continue to pray in the authority of Jesus' name. But a lot of times people will feel something. This guy we were praying over here, Megan was helping pray for this guy. Do you remember his name? Anyway, we were just praying around whatever we felt to pray, and other people were over here praying, and we were just continuing, and Pastor John was praying for John Peterson at that time, which his back was healed during that time because we continued to pray, and we prayed for this guy. He sat in the chair, and after we were finished, I said, how you feeling? How you doing, Johnny, or whatever his name was? He said, I'm doing pretty good, thank you. And I didn't say, are you healed? I said, how you doing? You feeling any better? Yeah, I think I am. Did you feel anything when we prayed? Yeah, I felt heat in the back of my head. I said, okay, well, we're going to just continue to pray for that because, you know, the Holy Spirit's doing something there. And so you just look for that, but dare to stop and say, how you doing? You feeling any better? And a lot of times people will feel something. A lot of times they won't. But a lot of times they'll say, well, I feel a little bit better, but I'm just not quite healed yet. Well, we're going to pray some more. So that's the next step. Go back and pray some more. Go back and pray some more. So I don't have that one listed here, but I know it's step four is re-engage in ministry. I see what it says. Stop and re-interview. Yeah, re-interview. So you kind of take your leadings from there. okay, we feel some improvement here. We're going to continue to pray for that. Go back and reengage in ministry. In the name of Jesus, Father, Lord, just continue to do a work. You know, what I always do with that is when we finish the prayers, I always ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work after this prayer is over. Continue to work in this person's life to bring healing. And a lot of times I've seen people get healed later or come back a month or two later. Yeah, I'm better. So we go back and we pray again based on what we got out of the interview. And so we continue to listen for direction until you feel it's time to stop. And there comes a place, well, I've prayed everything I know how to pray, and we've waited and we've done this, and, you know, I believe we're done praying. So it's time to stop praying. And step five is post-prayer suggestions. I've got here closure and care. Post-prayer suggestions. Close the ministry. Reassure the person you believe God is working in them to bring healing. And they may be totally healed. That would be the greatest thing. Are you healed? Yeah, glory to God. I thought about that scripture one time about the little lady was in the synagogue and she was bowed over. Had been that way 18 years. Just bowed over, you know. And they got in an argument, you know. He's trying to heal on the Sabbath day. Or he did heal on the Sabbath day. And he said, shouldn't this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, be healed on the Sabbath day? And he said he told her to lift herself up. And she lifted herself up and the place went bananas. You know, he said they all praised and glorified God. I mean, it wasn't a little praise. I guarantee you it was something. And if you ever seen a situation where people got healed of stuff like that, it's usually some bones cracking and, you know, it's no little thing. Oh, just stand up. No, I believe there were some bones cracking and everything going on. The people just went bananas. And the leader of the synagogue turned around and rebuked the people. Didn't rebuke Jesus, turned around and rebuked the people for getting so beside themselves over it. When somebody gets healed, says, yo, just don't even bring people in here on the Sabbath day. There are six other days in the week people ought to be healed, not on the Sabbath day. But they just couldn't contain it. You know, when people get healed, people go bananas. It just happens. It's just one of those things. But anyway, praise God. I don't know why I said all that, but, you know, sometimes people get healed and then there can just be pandemonium. That's great. That's what you want. But sometimes people get a little bit healed, a little bit more healed, or you know, not at all. But the thing is, you want to encourage people and give them any further instruction, like, you know, read this scripture each night, or, you know, get some pastoral counsel next week, or get yourself in a home group. Get in a prayer group, get in a Bible study group, give them something that'll help them. But it's not a time for counseling. You know, counseling is something else, and we shouldn't get into counseling or telling everybody all of our testimonies of our life story and what all God has done in my life and all the wonderful things He's shown me out of the Scripture. See, that's just not the time for that. We just want to be quick and to the point. We want to encourage people. And just ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work in them and bless them as they go. So that is basically the five-step prayer model. The purpose of it is to give the Lord time to interact with the person receiving prayer and with us too as being the ones praying for the people. To allow the Lord to lead and give direction during prayer. And it's not an exact science. It's a way to give time for the Lord to move in healing instead of rushing through the prayer time. So we have those cards. Take those cards, look at them, study them a little bit. They really do make sense, and this really does work. When I first saw this, I said, oh, this sounds like some kind of system to me. You know, not into all that system stuff. I'm just into the Bible. I'm just into doing what the Lord said to do. But you'll find out it has some really good things about it that help you when you get to praying for people.